You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Happy Thursday, Bengals fans. It's Thursday, and it's kind of becoming a regular thing that we are going to be talking about some fantasy football, some best plays, best bets, the players to avoid, the players to play, all that good stuff. And I'm with my friend Derek Davis, a.k.a. the Orange Arrow. He is at the Bengal 4 on the old Twitter. Derek, what's new, man? How you hanging in there after this week? That was a pretty ridiculous game that we witnessed on Sunday between the Packers and the Bengals.
Yes, it was. It was, and like I said on my show yesterday, I said, you know what? Yes, it sucks. Yes, it was rough, but we're on to Detroit in the old Bill Belichick sounding voice. So it was rough, but you know, it's one of those games that you wanted to win, you were hoping to win, but in all of my picks, I kind of had them, you know, when I looked at the year, I was potentially hoping for a 4-0 start, but I was looking at, like, you know, that Green Bay game being possibly one of our either one or two losses. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're kind of realistically right where you thought you would be.
Hard to know what to make of it. You know, on our show last night, John and I were talking about, you know, you feel good, I guess, about the fact that the Bengals kind of went toe-to-toe in a lot of different respects with one of the best teams in the NFC, but you also feel like there's a lot of missed opportunities and just, you know, a couple of different situations where the Bengals could have not only won the game, but really kind of asserted control earlier in the game as well, and turnovers and penalties and just different stuff, as they often do with every team, kind of got in the way, and unfortunately the Bengals came out on the wrong side of things. But they've got a winnable game, a game I'm a little worried about in some respects, but a game that they should take care of for sure. We are going to be here for just a little bit. We're going to be, first of all, going over some of the pieces of advice that Derek gave us last week and see how we did. We're going to give a few more pieces of advice in terms of fantasy sits and starts and that sort of thing. This week, we're going to also go over survival picks, look at some of the lines out there and some of the games and bets that make sense. But if you have a fantasy football question and you're tuning into us live, you can leave us a question, whether you're watching us on our YouTube channel, on Cincy Jungle's Facebook page, on one of the Twitter accounts where we're live streaming. Leave us a question if you would, and we will try and answer that as best we can. And of course, this is just one of a handful of shows that we have every week for you on the Orange and Black Insider, whether it's this fantasy football show. We have the analysis deep dive show with John Sheeran and myself on Wednesday nights. Earlier in the week, we kind of do the NFL and Bengals headlines, going around the league, spinning around that, and talking about everything going on around the NFL. And then, of course, we do post-game shows, listener questions live, all kinds of different things that we try and bring you through the week. And we are just one of a few great podcasts on the Cincy Jungle Podcast channel. So you can not only subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is, there's a little icon right by Derek over there. If you click on that, you can subscribe and hit the bell to be notified when we go live, when new stuff's available. And, of course, get it on your favorite audio streamer, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the major ones. And you can also check out Ace and Zim's Orange is the New Black, Matt Minnick's Chalk Talk and Coach Speak podcasts. And we'll have all of that for you on the Cincy Jungle podcast channel. So let's kind of get to it. We're going to actually, before we do that, I want to tell our folks, our listeners, about your fantasy football YouTube channel. Hopefully they go over there and subscribe to you as well. The Orange Arrow Fantasy Show. You mentioned that you took the air live yesterday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing on the show? And obviously this is part of, not only does it help us out and our listeners out from a fantasy football perspective, but we don't want you to give away every single tip that you give on your channel. So tell us a little bit about your channel and what you're doing and how people can subscribe.
Over there, I do every week. I do Wednesdays and Fridays. Every now and then, I do Saturdays instead of Fridays, just depending on my schedule and when I'm able to go live. But Wednesdays is all about fantasy football, and we do a little recap of last week's game or all of the games. Not, you know, I'd say it's a Bengals-centric fantasy football show, which is kind of a little bit of an oxymoron because we're talking fantasy football of all 32 teams, but we're also talking Bengals because I can't help it. But, you know, we do some stuff like that on Wednesdays, and then on Fridays or Saturdays, we go dive into the gambling side a little bit more, and we talk some best bets and stuff like that. And I also started last week, I started a game called Beat the Prop. And what I do on that is every Friday or Saturday, I'll give you 10 players, and I'll give you their fantasy points, their projected fantasy points. And all you have to do is guess the total number, or all 10 of them, the over-under for their projected fantasy points. And that'll, if you can guess all those 10 right, you will win a Joe Burrow rookie card that I have.
Nice. Gotta love giveaways. We are not great about that on our show. We do have some giveaways that we're sending out to people. From like a month and a half ago, the Ring of Honor stuff that we did with all those guys. So we'll get those out to folks, but that's awesome that you're doing giveaways and whatnot. We are getting you set up just before Thursday Night Football's kickoff. I'm slacking. It's been that kind of week. I have yet to pick a survival pick this week, and I cannot pick the Bengals. If you're going, if we're thinking, hey, we got to go with the Bengals against the Lions, I've already picked the Bengals. So I'm interested to hear your take on that. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We've already got a couple of questions, I think, in our live chats here. So keep those coming. If you're tuning in live, we'll get to a few of those. But before we do, Derek, I'd like to kind of recap a little bit of some of the things that you gave us last week, some of the pieces of advice, starts, sits, maybe bets, any kind of points, bullet points that you want to lay out to us in terms of where we did well and maybe where we didn't do so well, but hopefully that's something.
Yeah, so last week, actually, on our bets, we didn't do bad. We went 2 of 2 on our bets last week, and well, I guess you could say 2 of 2 and 3, because I did say the Bengals over 50.5. But we had, as far as the starts and sits goes, Damian Williams was one of my potential starts last week, and he actually did pretty well. He finished with 16.4 fantasy points in a PPR league, and that's about 4 points over his projected total. So if you started Damian Williams, you did pretty well. And unfortunately, he's on COVID. It just came out about an hour ago. So a little fantasy note, run out there and pick up Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert will be the RB1 for Chicago now. So, and he even though Damian had a very good game last week, Khalil Herbert didn't have a bad game as well. So they kind of had like a 50-50 split as far as the running back touches go. So he would be a potential RB2 this week. And I think that he's, if I remember correctly, he's available in, I'm looking at my notes here. looks like 28 to 29% leagues right now. So there's a very good chance that he's out there for you. So, and then for our sits, we didn't do too hot on. I had guys like Justin Herbert, which, I mean, for my sits, I, like I said before, it's not really a sit. It's just a, hey, they've got a pretty tough matchup this week, so you might want to be wary. If you've got a guy that is, you know, could you could potentially start him over, you might want to look into that. But, yeah, Herbert went off last week against against Cleveland, so not too good on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was on the surface, it's hard to dispute that. I mean, it just the Browns defense plays pretty well, and obviously that defensive front sacks the quarterbacks. They can force turnovers. So, I mean, it's not, you know, on the surface, it wasn't a bad pick. It just happened to be a game that was a total anomaly in terms of what everybody expected from it. A big shootout and a lot of points put up by Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another guy I had as one of my starts of the week. One of those, again, I'd like to say that the analysis was correct, but CJ Uzomah, he was running wide open on that one. And that's, you know, I think you guys might have spoken about it last night. Yeah. If you know, Trey Hopkins holds his block right there, you'd like to think that Burrow would have hit him for a long touchdown. So I like to, that they see that CJ is getting, you know, I like seeing that he's getting more and more involved in, you know, he had 84% of the snaps last week, 83% the week before in Jacksonville. So they're getting more and more involved each week. So that's what you like to see.
Well, you know, that play, I think you're talking about the bootleg where he threw the interception, and I think he was targeting on Tate. The interesting thing, we talked about it on the show last night too, the interesting thing with the Bengals' offensive game plan last week was also not even just implementing things for CJ Uzomah, but Drew Sample got in the mix a small handful of times, which is a surprise, and unfortunately didn't yield great results there. So that kind of took some targets away potentially from Uzomah and others on offense. But I like the idea of using Sample when you have, you know, when you have so much attention drawn to the other wide receivers. It's just a matter of, you got to execute and make the plays that when they're called that way. So unfortunately the impact there wasn't very good. So let's get to a couple of, actually let's, if you're, do we have more to recap there? Because we've got some questions, I think, coming up. Do you have more to recap?
I don't know if we talked about it on or not last week, but, you know, another one of the things that we had was Detroit at +7.5 was one of our bets last week. I think I can't remember. I want to say that was my lock of the week. It just, you know, it seems like every week, now hopefully not this week, but every week Detroit seems to, you know, even though they're getting those lines, like Vegas seems to think that they're going to, you know, get blown out, and they just keep staying in these games.
Yeah, some of the ones they have lost have been pretty unbelievable. And you know, the Justin Tucker record setter, and last week, and you know, you've got a team that, despite seeming like you look at the 0-5 record, it's, I don't think that's really indicative of who they are. And then of course, you know, you also look at their roster and you go, they're pretty talented start in some spots there. So, I mean, it is kind of who they are, but I feel like in a weird way, that team at 0-5 is almost overachieved a little bit, given some of the stuff on the roster. But, you know, and obviously the coach came out and had an impassioned plea to his team and just, you know, was kind of crying after the game and, you know, the whole deal. So I don't know how that's going to play out for the Bengals this week, but interesting stuff going on in Detroit for sure. Here is a question from Lindsay Brillhart, who is one of our good listeners there. So what do you do about Higgins? Last week, do you start him? Let's kind of talk about some of these people for next week, and or this coming week rather. what should we do, sit, start, et cetera. Higgins had a rough game last week. He had the two-point conversion. Only had, I think he and Boyd, I mean, they combined for less than 60 yards receiving, both of them. So Higgins had the two-point conversion, which helped some people if they played him. I don't know if the shoulder thing's still bugging him, but we all know, even though it's been mostly the Jamar Chase show this year, we all know that, you know, that there are games where these guys are going to take turns. Boyd had a big one. Chase has had a few big ones. And then Higgins hasn't really had it because he's been dinged up a handful of times already this year. But what do you think about him this week against the Lions? That secondary is not very strong for Detroit.
So, Lindsay, if you want to go take a look at my show that I had Wednesday, I actually had T. Higgins as my wide receiver start of the week this week. Just for the simple fact that, you know, I think that they are starting to show week. If you're seeing a trend week after week, they're starting to shadow the safety over to the Jamar Chase side. They're starting to double cover Jamar. And I think, I can't remember if it was you guys or if it was Paul Daner and them said that it was actually starting out last week. I think they double covered Boyd at the beginning of the game, which I can't remember exactly if that was correct or not. But I'm sure if one of the four of you guys said it, then I pretty much take it as gospel. But you know, you're starting to see these guys starting to cover them, and it's hard to do that with all of this talent. So if you're seeing them pay more attention to the middle of the field and starting to close that off, and they're shading coverage over to Jamar Chase's side, that's going to leave T one-on-one in a very, very favorable matchup, because he's getting the cornerback two and sometimes the cornerback three matchup every week. And it's a very large talent disparity between him and the cornerbacks for Detroit. So I look for T to have a very, very good week this week.
I hope so. A couple of drops. I mean, he could have had a pretty respectable week last week. He hangs on to two of those balls. Very catchable. I mean, he adds probably another 20 or so yards to his total. All of a sudden, he's got, 50, 60 yards receiving and a two-point conversion. If you played him as a flex guy, given the injury stuff, all of a sudden you kind of had at least a little bit of a respectable output there. But unfortunately, the two drops, which not only hurt fantasy owners if they played him, but also hurt the team, unfortunately. And he owned up to it this week and some of his post-game press conference stuff. So hopefully a good bounce-back week for him. Who else do you have going this week that you mentioned? Khalil Herbert was one. T. Higgins was one. I don't know. I don't want you to give up the entire farm because I want people to go to your channel, but maybe one or two extra that you want to give us that won't give away all of the secrets that you gave out already.
Yeah. So one guy that I'll give you one more start and then I'll give you one a sit.
Perfect.
So one guy that I have this week is Trevor Lawrence. He is ranked at quarterback 16 on the week. And I'm going to just double check right now and make sure that he hasn't moved since I last checked yesterday. But he's moved up again. He's now quarterback 15 on the week against Miami. And, he's steadily improving week after week after week. You're starting to see these things that you've seen in LSU that they're starting to implement. They're kind of doing a Zach Taylor thing where Zach Taylor at the beginning of Burrow's season, he implemented a lot of LSU things for Joe Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence it kind of seems like he's getting a little bit of that for, you're seeing a lot more of those RPOs and he's starting to run a lot more. So against Miami's defense, which coming into the year, if you would have told me that Miami's defense was as bad as they are right now, I probably would have called you a liar because it's almost night and day from what they were last year.
Yeah, that team has collapsed, man.
Yeah, yeah. Them and Washington's defense, too, is like, it. You know what it might be? it might be the curse of old Fitzpatrick. You know, he was on Miami last year, and he moves over to Washington, and now Washington's defense isn't playing very well. So that might be what it is. I mean, who knows? But
who knows? So who is not lighting your hair on fire this week in terms of their matchup and their fantasy outlook?
So one guy, and he had a pretty good week last week. But one guy that I'm not really thrilled about is, speaking of Miami, is Miami's tight end Mike Gesicki. And I'm trying to spell his name. It always gets me. G-E-S-I, yeah. So Mike Gesicki is, he had most of his fantasy success with, what is his name?
Tua?
Jacoby Brissett. That's who I was thinking of. When Tua was in the lineup and he was available and healthy, he didn't like to spend a whole lot of time in the targeting his tight ends, and Gesicki really didn't have a whole lot for him. And then now that you can kind of see, you know, I think Tua is planning on, it seems like he's going to be back this week. It's trending in that direction. So I just kind of like to steer clear of Gesicki on that one. And he's actually tight end seven right now. So it looks like fantasy consensus is starting to think the same thing that I am, because at the beginning of the week, he was tight end six, so it looks like he's starting to move down the line there.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to give an opportunity in just a second here for some folks to laugh at my fantasy football teams, and I'll give you a couple things I'm looking at for possible moves and you know different things for a lineup. We'll go over that quickly. And then we'll talk about some lines and survival football picks and get on out of here. But before we do, Derek, I would like to tell you and all of our listeners about Symbol. I'm sure everybody knows that if you've listened to our show for any period of time, you know about our partnership with Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L. And the website is simbull.app/OBI. We'll put that in the live chat for folks. If you've listened to our show, you know that Symbol is like playing a sports version of the stock market. You can buy shares in specific teams, and you could either do short-term plays or long-term plays with those and make some money off of them like you would in the stock market. Now, what's different right now is they have a new promo for our listeners. If you use the promo code OBI and you deposit at least $100 in your account to be used to buy shares, they have a completely risk-free element to deposits of over $100. So if you deposit $100, you end up losing for some reason, $30 of it, $50 of it. That becomes risk-free for your first 90 days that you have created an account if you use the promo code OBI. Meaning, if you lose a portion or even all of your deposit and you are not satisfied with what happened there, within 90 days, they will reimburse your deposit for you. So it's a win-win situation, and you can go in there if you know football, if you know about the team you're investing in, you should make money, because a lot of folks that are investing in the Bengals have made money so far. So you got to go in there, you got to check out Symbol. It's especially if you're doing fantasy football, if you're doing survival football, any of that stuff, go check out Symbol, simbull.app/OBI, and you got to use the promo code OBI to take advantage of that 90-day risk-free deposit incentive that they're giving our listeners there. So go check that out. It is fun stuff from Symbol. We're happy to continue partnering with.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we're going to be here for a few more minutes. If you have more questions, leave those in one of the live chats. If you're listening to us live, we'll try and get to a couple more of those and or some different elements with lineups and all kinds of different stuff. All right, Derek, I'm going to put you on the spot here if you're cool with that. So here is my lineup as it is currently comprised this week. The one down there is AJ Green, so the screen's kind of cutting off a little bit there. You got Burrow up top. That's the only quarterback that I have rostered. I don't have a lot of guys on – I don't have any in this league that are on buys right now. I had a really bad beat last week. I actually scored quite a few points, but the guy that I played against had just a ridiculous game. The thing is here, you see here, questionable when you go to Claypool, mm-hmm. Chubb, and Swift, and then you've got Devontae Parker questionable, and then we talked about AJ Green, I believe, last week, so maybe he slides in somewhere, but I played AJ Dillon last week, and I actually, that was just kind of a, I don't know, a seat of the pants type of thing. It actually paid off a little bit for me, because he was doing
he had a really good week.
Unfortunately.
Fortunately for you, unfortunately for us, I guess.
Exactly. So I don't know. We're doing this as kind of a sample exercise for folks in case mm-hmm. they have similar players in their lineups. Is there any here that you would kind of see like, hey, you know, Marvin Jones maybe should slide in there, especially with DJ Chark out? Do you play Parker now that you think that Gesicki isn't going to be as big of a factor? I don't know. Is there something there that's jumping out at you that you would say, hey, maybe manipulate the roster this way?
Yeah. So I actually think that Chase Claypool is a very, a good start this week, just because, you know, there's no Juju. They're going up against a Seattle secondary that is, I mean, we just took one of their best cornerbacks that they let release. So, you know, that kind of shows you how their cornerback situation is. So Chase Claypool seems to have, like, he'll have a pretty good week this week. Nick Chubb, I think he popped up with a midweek injury, which is kind of scary because I think he was fine up until I think today he was listed as that he did not participate. So that's a little worrisome. But Nick Chubb, if he's there, you play him, and that's one of those set it and forget it kind of things. And then DeAndre Swift, that one, I really don't know how they're going to go with that, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, our run defense did pretty well, and then of course we get absolutely gashed by the Packers running backs there, so you don't really know what's going to happen there. And then of course they lose Frank Ragnow, and they don't have their offensive line seems to be kind of in shambles as well. So I think he could potentially be, because the thing with DeAndre Swift is, no matter what, if he's not getting it in the running game, he's going to be hyper-targeted in the passing game. So I'm all right with him. I mean, overall, I don't mind the way your lineup is currently situated, unless maybe, like you said, you wanted to swap an A.J. Dillon with like a Marvin Jones or Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Chicago's run, Chicago's defense has really stepped it up within the past couple of weeks. So maybe you look into doing something like that.
Okay. Let's go into the lines and Chris says I got to get that IR player out of my starting lineup. Well, I don't think he's not in my starting lineup. He's on my bench, and he's talking about Jerry Jeudy.
Which I think he's supposed to be back within the next few weeks, ain't he?
Yeah, that's why I've hung on to him. I've hung on to him. I haven't been starting him. I'm not that inept of a fantasy football owner. He's on the bench. I promise. Let's go to some lines and talk survival football. I just kind of glanced at this, Derek, and there are a couple in terms of survival that stick out to me. There are the Colts that are hosting the Texans, kind of doing the whoever is playing Houston type of thing. And this is for me specifically because I've already picked the Bengals, the Ravens. I've picked, I'm trying to think who else I've picked. I picked the Packers, I think. So I picked a number of different teams. So they are, that obviously eliminates the options for me in some regards, but I had the Rams going to New York, I believe, to play the Giants was one, and the Colts hosting the Texans were two I had my eyes on. So from a survival perspective, I don't know if those two are ones that you feel that I should pursue and or our listeners should pursue, or if there's others on here that you kind of feel like, well, I mean, if you have more teams to work with than what I'm putting out there, then go for it.
Yeah, so great minds think alike, because my survivor picks on the week this week is the Rams. It just seems like a pretty easy one there. And when I was going through, and then after I picked, I went and checked, and it looks like the number one pick this week for some of the week six top website picks is the Rams with 34%. So a pretty high margin there. And then the second one, like you had said, is Indy at 32%. And then the third one is Kansas City at 12%, and then it goes on from there. So it seems like the three largest ones are the Rams, Indy, and then Kansas City. But I will say with the Indy game, after watching both of those teams, try really hard – you got to give it to them. They're trying really hard, but it seems like that would be one that I would want to steer away from just because of the fact that there's two bad teams. Yes, you want to pick them and get them out of the way, but I could also see this one, like one of my best bets. They've got Houston plus 10 against Indy this week. They're 10-point dogs against Indy. So that's one of my best bets. I think that will be a potential close game, and that's one that I just want to steer away from as far as survivor picks go.
Yeah, it's divisional too. That kind of gets a little tricky. What about some of these other lines here? You've got Kansas City going to Washington being a 6.5-point favorite. We just mentioned that the Washington defense is not what a lot of people had expected. That one kind of jumps out along with the two survival games we talked about. Chargers at Ravens, go LA this week. They are 2.5-point dogs to the Ravens in Baltimore. That's kind of a tricky one. Cardinals being the underdog in Cleveland there. So that's an interesting one. Raiders being the underdog in Denver, who knows what the Raiders are going to do this week based on everything that's gone on there. So those are some of the – and, of course, you got the Seahawks being 5.5-point underdogs to Pittsburgh. I don't know. Any of those or others that are kind of sticking out here?
Yeah, the Seattle game, which I think DK Metcalf did not participate today as well. That Seattle game, I want to pick Seattle so bad. +5 seems like an awful lot against a Steelers team that just seems to not – like they haven't found their footing yet. But, if there's no DK Metcalf, Chris Carson still hasn't practiced this week. No Russell Wilson. It's it almost seems like you want to take Pittsburgh and take the 5 points, because I don't know what Seattle's going to do, especially without Russell Wilson. But then again, you know, Smith, he played well last week. So, I mean, the line, Vegas, there's a reason why there's a ton of buildings out there in the desert, because, and they just keep building more and more and more, because they definitely know what they're doing over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
These lines are getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yeah. And then you've got the Bears hosting the Packers as a 5.5 mm-hmm. point underdog at home. That one's really interesting there, especially with Green Bay playing extra football last week, kind of a draining game. The kicker was having some struggles. I don't know. That one's kind of a different one there. Do you think Jacksonville gets their first win this week?
How many people are watching right now? I really think they do. I do. That's one that I actually had as a one of my good bets this week, because I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, and you kind of feel like there's a lot of talent on that team. It's like, how in the world do they keep losing each week? And it's just like, it seems like they have to. I mean, against Miami, Tua's coming back, his first game back, I would say, yes, Jacksonville will get the win this week.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first. You've got also the one tonight, Philly hosting the Buccaneers, and they are a touchdown dog at home. How do you feel about that mm-hmm. one before we bounce on out of here?
Yeah, I mean, who's going to bet against Tom Brady? it's one of those points. I mean, the guy's got a hurt hand, so he's kind of almost like Ben Roethlisberger in a sense that, like, anytime he has any sort of injury, he's just going to absolutely light the world on fire. So look for him to throw 5 touchdowns or something. Maybe not, but
yeah. And these Thursday nighters, we know from firsthand experience watching the Bengals and many other teams over the years that Thursday nighters kind of they provide an element of unpredictability for sure. So
yeah, and I'll tell you what, you got to give it to the NFL this year, man, because you know how many years before did we say, oh my gosh, I can't believe such and such is playing this week, or so and so is playing this week on a primetime game, and they go out there and completely lay an egg, and it's a crappy game. All the primetime games this week have been this year have been very, very entertaining. So,
yeah, I have to think back to which ones. I mean, obviously, we know the one tonight that seems to be, you know, a pretty interesting matchup. You had the Bengals one a couple of weeks ago. What was last week? Was that the Seattle and LA last Thursday? Mm-hmm. That one was a pretty tight one.
Yep.
They've kind of done a nice mix and match of divisional games and just kind of non-divisional games, because a lot of them for a while were divisional games, and those were very difficult games for teams because of the short week and all that kind of stuff, and the emotion of the divisional game itself. And sometimes those things would get pretty ugly. They've done a pretty good job here, and a lot of these games have kind of come down to the wire, including the last two, really, Seattle and LA, and then the Bengals and Jags there. So you're right. They do deserve at least a little bit of credit. They're putting out a good product on Thursday night, which has not always been the case. Derek, I'm going to let you talk about your YouTube channel one more time before we bounce on out of here, how folks can find either the YouTube channel and or the audio versions of your show.
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest way to do it is find me over on Twitter at TheBengal4, and I have a link tree up thing over there where you can click on that. It'll show you all the ways where you can get my podcast, get my YouTube show, or you can go on YouTube and search the Orange Arrow the Orange Arrow Fantasy Show. I almost said the Fantasy League, but mm-hmm. yeah, I've got that as well. So anybody that plays fantasy football next year, look be on the lookout, because I'm hoping to grow this thing and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. So Yeah, the Orange Arrow Fantasy Show. I do it every Wednesday, every Friday. I do the prop bet and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a labor of love for all y'all.
Well, you do excellent stuff. We appreciate that you come on our show, spend some time with us, and give me and our listeners a lot of tips and tricks for the fantasy football side of things, because I know I need it, and I need to rely on the expertise of someone like yourself to provide that. I tried to do this, and I kind of felt like, man, I don't really have much credibility given my fantasy football records and stuff that that I have. But you do an excellent job on your show, and obviously coordinating the fantasy football league itself that is going, that the proceeds of everybody signing up is going towards the Joe Burrow Hunger Relief Fund, which is really, really cool that you did it for a charitable endeavor there. Always got to respect that. Derek, have a good week, man. Do you got a prediction for the Bengals game, since this is a Bengals show, even though we talked about all kinds of different fantasy football options? And one more fantasy football question from me directly to you related to the Bengals. Joe Mixon, what should we expect from Joe Mixon this week, and what do you think the end result of the Bengals versus Lions will be this week?
This, I'll start with the Joe Mixon thing, and this is kind of just a hunch. There's really no analysis, because Joe looked really, really good last week in the limited snaps that he got. But I could, if you wanted to potentially pick Chris Evans up, and if you needed to start him in a pinch, I could see them getting almost a 50-50 split this week, and maybe sprinkling in a little Trevion as well. But I think they're gonna kind of limit his touches like they did last week, just until he can get over this injury. Yeah, you know, they don't want to be without him, but they also don't want to lose him for a long time like they did last year. So they might, you know, he had like 28-29% of snaps last week.
Right.
This week looked to that, you probably bumped that up to 40-45% of snaps, and then, you know, get Chris Evans mixed in quite a bit as well. So look for a lot of screen game to Chris Evans, and a lot of interesting ways for Joe Mixon to get the ball to where he doesn't have to do as much cutting on that ankle. But as far as predictions go, I'm going to be optimistic, because I am first and foremost a Bengals fan. Mm-hmm. And I am going to say this is the first week where they finally hit that 30 point marker. 34-17, Bengals win in extraordinary fashion. Maybe they don't get 30 points in the offensive side, but I could see them possibly getting some points on the defensive side. So, wink, wink, pick up the Bengals defense this week.
Yeah, and also, Brandon Wilson started to look like his old self last week, too, the guy who's popped some big returns, including ones for touchdowns in the past. So, special teams could be something there to pick up. Unfortunately, if that is the score, there's also the element of garbage yards and garbage time given up potentially by the defense, too. But I think it would be a very nice sign of things to come and where things are headed with the Bengals if they not only crack 30 points for the first time this year, but also win by 2-3 possessions against a team, really, that when you look at things, you kind of feel like that's how it should be, but you wonder about the emotional aspects and different things playing into this one, and the Lions are due type of thing. But overall, I mean, this should be a game that the Bengals should take care of. We'll see what happens, but I think we're all in agreement that the Bengals should handle their business. Derek, have a good week, man. We'll talk to you next week and catch up on how we did and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, man. Hootay.
Take it easy.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, the Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.